Two filmmakers who've helped conserve and promote independent cinema in Australia are Bill Masoulas and Chris Luscri, and together they curate Unknown Pleasures, Australian independent cinema. It screens at Longplay at 318 St George's Road, North Fitzroy, and the three programs coming up tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, and Sunday, December the 8th, when an end-of-year special screening, which we'll hear more about later. And here in a 3CR studio is Bill Masoulas himself. Welcome again to On Screen, Bill.
Thank you very much, Melinda. Nice to see you again. It's been a few years since I've been in here and being interviewed by you.
Because you're now based in Adelaide.
Yes, in Adelaide. And then I was also in Greece for about 7-8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So kind of pretty much out of Australia for good anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, so maybe, Bill, just give us an idea at this point. To what do you owe your passion for independent cinema, in particular Australian independent cinema?
Oh, wow. I mean, when I first started making films myself, 37 years ago, I just wanted to make, individual films, you know, with my own voice. And I think that's what then led me to a passion for independent cinema in general, is that, I really appreciated the individual artistic, I know it's a cliche, individual artistic efforts of filmmakers rather than those working in the industry. Mm. So ever since that time in the early mid-80s, I've had this passion for indie cinema in that way.
Now, this question might throw you, but what do you remember being the first independent film that caught your eye, Bill?
From back then in the 80s? I think I was a little slow to get round to the more kind of funded independent cinema from the Australian Film Commission. At the time, it's interesting because one of the films we're playing next week is almost from that time. My Life Without Steve by Gillian Leigh is from 1986, and I saw that in 86, 87. But in 82, 83, I mean, I started making Super 8 films myself, and then I saw a few Super 8 films at a Fringe Festival in 1983. And so I got a glimpse of that kind of more underground Super 8 kind of filmmaking. And then after that, I'm not quite sure what I saw, you know. It was kind of like a process of educating myself into what existed, like the channels at the time, like you'd go to the Longford Cinema and you might see like a Brian McKenzie documentary or something like that there. But it took me like a little bit of time. I think when I started attending the Melbourne Film Festival, I would have seen more of the kind of funded 16mm and 35mm indie films at the time.
So, Bill, how did you and Chris Luscri come up with the Unknown Pleasures Australian Independent Cinema program?
Well, it was pretty organic. A couple of years ago when I came back from Greece, I just wanted to put some screenings on, like of my most recent feature, which I made in Greece. And I actually saw in Greece how they operated with the crisis and how a real kind of DIY kind of ethic came into place. And people would, not worry about the lack of money and everything, and they'd put on these little screenings of their work in cinemas wherever. And so I did the same for my Greek film here in Australia. I put some small screenings on, and then I thought, wow, well, you know, maybe I should put other people's films on here in Australia too. So I started doing that in 2018, about 18 months ago. And then, you know, Chris Luscri was, I mean, he's always been a great friend of mine the last 10 years, but he was aware of what I was doing last year. So at the start of this year or tail of last year, we decided to join forces. He was a programming films for Artist Film Workshop, that kind of experimental group in Fitzroy. But we decided to, put a bit more of a concerted effort into the programming this year. And so we've been quite ambitious. We've sometimes had two screenings per month. And again, we've had no funding for this. In the past, you could get Australian Film Commission money or something like that. But we've just been doing it DIY and at the small venue of Longplay, and we've very much enjoyed it. It's been a great year of collecting audiences and filmmakers and having great discussions.
But just going back to what was the Australian Film Commission, and you said you could get a bit of funding there. What is it like at the moment? Is it fairly tight about what will be funded?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Screen Australia's kind of out the window. I think they've probably got some cultural funding. I haven't really looked into it myself, but at council level, like the City of Melbourne, City of Yarra, you know, they kind of give out really good funds for these kind of screenings and these kind of artistic endeavours that are more kind of on the ground and more kind of artist community based rather than industry kind of based. Mm. So, I mean, there's been a huge shift in the Australian film landscape, the last 15, 20 years for the indie sector and for the mainstream sector that kind of floats along, you know, doing what it does. But for indie cinema, yeah, and also for filmmaking, you know, filmmakers can't fund their short films as easily as they could 20, 30 years ago. So it's quite a difficult atmosphere, difficult situation at the moment.
Mm. Mm. And we're speaking with Bill Masoulas, who is co-curator of Unknown Pleasures, Australian Independent Cinema Program, and it plays at Longplay. So can you tell us, what would you say is your mission at Unknown Pleasures, if you had one?
Well, the mission is, especially at the moment in 2019, is to actually screen some of these works that are just being neglected. So a lot of our programming is retrospective. And we've got a good cross-section, the next three screenings from 70s, 80s and 2000s. And a lot of these works tend to get forgotten. Mm. And they were like almost like seminal films at the time. And so a sense of film history seems to be going just generally in life and in all of life and where the present moment is valued more than anything. So we wanted to, get a few of these films out of the cupboard. And quite a few of them have been restored to high def, and so obviously they're digital copies, but they're looking really good at the moment and sounding good. And we also wanted to bring more of a community flavour back into film screenings. So make sure we have Q&As, but make sure it's in an intimate space where everyone can meet each other. So. And Longplay only seats 30 people, and we pretty much pack it out each time. But it kind of creates a real kind of sense of filmmakers meeting each other, the audience meeting filmmakers. And in this crazy capitalist world that we still kind of live in, you know, dog eat dog, and, you know, everyone wants to make it. Every filmmaker just wants to make it, and no one really cares about community kind of spirit between filmmakers, apart from close friendships that some filmmakers have with others. Given all that, we felt we wanted to do something to address that, basically.
Well, let's talk about the programs that you have ready for us. Now, in tomorrow's screening of Unknown Pleasures, you're showing two films by Mark LaRosa. Before we speak about the films, can you tell us a little bit about Mark LaRosa?
Mark is someone that I actually met 30-odd years ago. He started making Super 8 films in 1986, 87, when I was making the Super 8 films as well. And he's a really fascinating filmmaker on the scene, a really special filmmaker, I believe, because he hasn't really chased things like profile and he hasn't received any grants for his work. And he's like a kind of quiet type who meticulously works away at his films and shapes them very carefully. You know, one of his heroes is Robert Bresson, and Bresson would only make, you know, one film every 5 years or whatever. So some of Mark's work is a bit Bressonian, and some of it is a little bit kind of different. He's played with documentary and experimental forms as well. So he's kind of like a bit of an unrecognized, unsung kind of hero in a way. And this kind of filmmaking, just doesn't get noticed much in Australia at the moment.
Well, Bill, you're screening two of his films. The first one is 57 minutes, and it's called Captives. Can you give us a glimpse of this film?
Okay, The Captives is almost his most recent narrative work. He's actually made a new one in the last couple of years, which is more like traditional feature length. He's made a number of films that are around 40, 50 minutes, and The Captives is from 2004. And it's for 2005. You've got the info there more than I have. 2005, and it's about 57 minutes long, and it is quite Bressonian. So we see a group of people They're like a theatre group, a theatre troupe, and they've got their director. And so we see the tensions between the director and the troupe, and also within the troupe, various issues that come up. And it's got a very measured and formal style, pretty much like Bresson. And it's in black and white, and it's, yeah, really unusual for Australian cinema. I think that, I mean, if Mark was born in France and made films in France, he'd be lauded and he'd be, you know, getting grants and he'd be, you know, seen as a kind of great artist. But here in Australia, I think that kind of, you know, Bressonian kind of cinema had its moment maybe 20, 30 years ago in Australia, and people appreciated it. But since then, you know, in the 90s, we had Dogma, and then there's all these different styles have come in. So that kind of more, you know, formal, measured narrative kind of work doesn't exist much in Australia at the moment at any kind of level. So, but Mark still makes films a bit like this. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah.
Yes. And then after The Captives, you're screening his 11-minute film, which is more recently, 2016, Regolith. And yeah. Mark LaRosa also says that this might be, well, is his final short film.
Yeah, yeah. He says that maybe he should concentrate a bit more on feature-length films. Like I said, he's made about six 40, 50-minute films, and he's just made his first feature. I'm not sure exactly how long it is, 80, 85, 90. And hopefully that will be getting some screenings in the next year, coming up now. Regolith is yeah, a little short film. It's fascinating. He's gone back to working on 16mm with it and not digital, and it kind of looks like a travelogue, but it's like a diary film. So you're not quite sure if it's documentary, if it's fiction. It's all about memory. It's about kind of trauma. It's about all these kind of things. Just, you know, created out of snapshots of a woman and her brother kind of traveling through the countryside together. So it's, like I said earlier, Mark's an interesting filmmaker because he's made even experimental films and all kinds of little interesting things. But so this gives a little indication, this program, of what he's done through his career.
And Regolith, what does, do we get what that meaning is in the film?
I'm not sure. I've seen, I saw the film a couple of years ago. I haven't seen it again now as we're screening it. I'm not sure what it means.
And at the Q&A, it'll be Chris Lescree.
Chris will be doing the Q&A.
Yes, good. We should just mention that I read you've got a website, and so I've read the interview with Jake Wilson.
Jake's a great supporter of Mark's work, and has written about it and has interviewed Mark before. So we thought about inviting Jake to do the Q&A, but he's done a couple of other Q&As for us recently, so we didn't want to pressure him too much, but yeah.
So you can see The Captives and Regolith, the short films by Mark LaRosa, at the Long Play. So it's going to be tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow, which is Sunday, November the 10th. At 7:30 p.m. And there's still a few seats left. It's about a dozen seats of the 30 left at the moment.
Do people book online, do they?
People can book with me just to guarantee a seat, basically. So they can look for the info, just Google Unknown Pleasures, although the Joy Division album will come up. So Unknown Pleasures and Long Play, and you'll get a web page coming up, yeah.
Now, this Thursday at November the 14th at 7:30 as well at Long Play, Unknown Pleasures is screening the 53-minute film My Life Without Steve by Gillian Lay that you mentioned earlier. I saw that it was described as one woman's year in a room with a view, which I think exactly captures it, doesn't it?
Yeah, have you seen it?
I have, and I actually saw it back in 1986. I was involved with Australian Teachers of Media.
Okay.
And it was in our awards.
Okay,
It did win an award there. And it also won Best Australian Short Film at the Melbourne Film Festival in 1986 and the AFI Award for Best Experimental Film.
Okay.
Although My Life Without Steve is quite an accessible experimental film, isn't it?
It is, because it got full funding at the time, and like you said, it won awards. It was actually shot on 35mm, mm. Academy ratio still, like 1:33 and 35, I think. Yes, I think that's right. Saw it the other day. And it's actually had a few screenings here and there recently, like the Melbourne Cinematheque put it on about 4 years ago, I think, in 2015. But we've got Jill herself coming for the screening, so she's Sydney-based, and we're really pleased to have her coming down for this. And what we're showing is actually a new high-def transfer. So, you know, we can't show 35mm or 16, so we show digital. And it's a new high-def transfer that looks beautiful, sounds beautiful. So, yeah, it's a really amazing film. It's like she was kind of like one of the group of feminist filmmakers that were around in Sydney in the 70s and 80s, but she was a little bit to the side of that. And when the film came out, a lot of feminists were a bit surprised because it focused on the personal story, the love, the obsession with the guy, the dependency on the guy. And so she, you know, she was questioned a lot about this at the time. But it's I mean, you know, feminism, like any ism, can have its limitations. And even though I'm call myself a feminist as well, but the other great thing about this film is that, yes, it's minimalist, but it's also a great essay film. So it came at the time when Chris Marker's Sunless was around in the mid-80s. And so we were quite familiar, the film community was quite familiar with this form of the voiceover, telling a story and then, you know, seeing images on the screen. And I don't know, what can I say? It's quite a beautiful, melancholic film, very touching, and it raises lots of points about relations and everything.
It's like her meditating on the angst that she's going through from this recent breakup that she has. It's supposed to span about a year, is it, in the process, or quite a bit of time anyway?
Her voiceover, she certainly details the narrative of her time with Steve, her boyfriend, and I think, yes, it goes for about a year, what we see.
And also what's a bit surprising is that we see a view of Sydney Harbour out of the window of her flat where she is, and of course that's probably changed immensely since that time.
It's not the exact part we see is, I think, in Glebe, and it's not the harbour with the harbour bridge kind of view, but it would have changed. Yeah, there's a more kind of rickety kind of feel to what we see on screen.
Wharves and everything
The wharves, the pots, the port, the kind of fishing boats and a few other things like that.
And also I noticed that the cinematography of My Life Without Steve is Erica Addis.
Who's a great cinematographer who's worked a lot with a lot of the feminist filmmakers in Sydney, and she's done work in Melbourne too. I can't think what, maybe even Sue Brooks's films or one or two of them, but she's a great figure as well. And it's like, always throughout the history of the last 34 years, there's always been this divide, or all these feminist filmmakers have been in Sydney and hardly any in Melbourne, and Melbourne had all these experimental filmmakers, and Sydney had hardly any of those. So it's this kind of curious thing, sort of happened a bit.
What emerges from different communities.
So it's that support network. So a lot of the feminists in Sydney, Margot Nash and... there's a whole heap of them. They obviously supported each other, and it was that great period of women's lib from the mid-70s, and from that all this kind of started, and it flourished really successfully in Sydney.
So the screening this Thursday of My Life Without Steve, Gillian Leigh will be there, and also can you tell us about who'll be hosting the question and answer afterwards?
It'll be John Hughes, and John is a Melbourne documentary filmmaker from the early 70s, actually, when he was working for the ABC, possibly, with video at the time. I can't quite remember, but He's a great filmmaker in his own regard. And I actually wanted a female maybe to host this night, but Jill suggested John. Mm-hmm. And John's written about the film in Senses of Cinema. So he's a great figure, and he's been a great supporter for our screenings this year. And we've screened one of his films earlier in the year. We'll probably screen more in the next couple of years. So, yeah.
That should be an interesting night, yes. So that's this Thursday evening at Longplay. And we're speaking with Bill Masoulas, who is the programmer at the Unknown Pleasures Australian Independent Cinema Program. Now, your next program on Sunday, December the 8th, Unknown Pleasures, has an end-of-the-year special with a film that, back in 1975 when it was made, was titled Pure S. But nearly 35 years on, we can say pure shit. And it's Burt Dealing's film, and it's quite a rare screening for this film.
It actually is. It got a DVD release about 10 years ago in 2009, and it was really beautiful DVD release, but quite a limited one. I don't know how many copies they struck of this beautiful three-disc box set, but you can't get it anywhere now. And also, no one seems to be screening the film at the moment, the last few years. And
well, can you tell us about the film for those who haven't seen?
Well, it's one could talk a long time about this film, and I won't because of time reasons. But when it was made in 1975, there was a move for, you know, experimental films being made, you know, the feminist ones, and there wasn't so much of a move for almost kind of like genre cinema, you might want to call it, the kind of drug caper kind of film, your Trainspotting type film. So, you know, we see a group of people in their 20s, 30s, and they're looking for a heroin hit, you know, they're looking for their next hit. And it's just, it's a very curious film. It's not fully grungy, like it's got its kind of realistic elements, but it's got its humour. It's got its I don't know, kind of social kind of critique and you know, relations between the people in there, and it's just got this incredible energy to it, and it's a real one-off. I mean, of course, everyone who knows the film and knows Dogs in Space by Richard Lowenstein points to Dogs in Space being quite similar, like a kind of loose narrative, kind of grungy living, you know, drug addicts, this kind of thing. And it's almost like this emblematic film, Pure Shit. And the website I've created a year ago is called Pure Shit, Australian Cinema, in kind of tribute to this film. I don't know. Look, it's just this incredible film that's unlike anything else in Australian cinema. And if you haven't seen it, come on down. I think we'll be probably having two screenings that night. Because I think there'll be a lot of demand. So,
And will Burt Dealing be there?
No, Burt's slightly reclusive. He lives in country Victoria. I'm not sure exactly where. We're still lining up possible guests, so I won't announce anything. Maybe one or two of the actors in the film. It's a bit hard to track them down, but we'll see what we can manage. And Burt did come out 10 years ago and promote the film, and there were some screenings when the DVD release was around 10 years ago. But in total, he only made three features, and he had a great history from even the late 60s, early 70s, with the kind of whole independent film kind of community at that point. And it's quite sad that he didn't make more features than that. So that happens quite a bit in Australia, the one-to-feature syndrome from directors.
Yes, and that's going to be, Pure Shit is screening on Sunday, December the 8th, Longplay. So can you just remind me about us about getting tickets to Unknown Pleasures?
Okay, well, yeah, there's no Facebook page as such, but my name, Bill Masoulas, on Facebook, you can certainly friend me there. But yeah, like I said earlier, people can just Google Unknown Pleasures and Longplay, and a web page will come up on the Pure Shit website with information about all the screenings and how to book a ticket and that kind of thing.
And they can take their chances and turn up to Longplay.
Yes, they can.
St. George's Road, 318 St. George's Road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So With all of this, Bill, what are your views on the future of independent filmmaking in Australia? Big question, but...
Well, yeah, this kind of level of more underground indie cinema that I and Chris are interested in, at the moment, there's actually like a bit of hope for some good work to be done and maybe for more of this kind of filmmaking to infiltrate the mainstream, because unfortunately, last 20 years, there's more of a divide between the mainstream and the indie, or certainly the alternative underground indie. Mm. Whereas 20 years ago, Melbourne Film Festival would play a lot of these works, and now it doesn't. So we're hoping that, a new generation of filmmakers, and there's a whole bunch of people at the moment in their 20s who are making really interesting short films. And we're hoping that this lot of filmmakers can kind of push through the next 5 years and make their first features and make something interesting as well, not just, kind of bow down to, what's in flavour and whatever. So there's a little bit of hope for, this kind of indie cinema to gain a bit more ground in the next 5 years, but it probably won't. Sorry to be pessimistic, but this is just the cycle of things, I think, that happens. And capitalism is such a huge beast, the whole kind of pressure of investors and distributors and all this that, this kind of cinema is not attractive to a mainstream audience. So, but the thing is, it's more about people like the Melbourne Film Festival and other cultural bodies like that accepting this more kind of alternative film. Yeah.
And do you think that what's preventing them from doing that are commercial pressures?
I think so, especially with MIFF. MIFF is a particular beast, and it's doing what it can at the moment. I think Al and his team are actually programming some really good Australian indie films, especially last year in 2018, there was a very strong program. But there's still a lot of pressure for them, I think, to present and position these kind of more alternative films to the audience. And I think they're scared that the audience will, be confronted and maybe confused, and that may create bad word of mouth for even the filmmakers. So I think MIFF actually has its, positive kind of reasons for being cautious. But let's see what might happen this year and the year after. Yeah.
Well, speaking of let's see, what have you seen maybe recently or this year that has impressed you, Bill?
Well, I haven't actually seen a lot of cinema because I've been really busy with these screenings and just kind of researching this kind of more alternative Australian cinema. So I was at MIFF, in August, and I saw about not many films because I live in Adelaide. Saw about a dozen films there, and that was pretty good. And I do watch a few films here and there. The last few weeks I've seen a couple of Japanese anime films, which I've always loved in the past. So I saw a film called Ride Your Wave and also another one called Flavors of Youth. So I really enjoyed them because especially the more realistic, anime that kind of focuses on relationships, especially love stories. I think the Japanese do it so amazingly well in those animes, just with the figures and the voices and even the kind of corny, kind of wacky music they use at times can be really touching and beautiful. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Ride Your Wave. And I think that was a recent release this year. So, yeah.
Good. Well, Bill, thank you so much for bringing Unknown Pleasures and making it more known to us this morning
sure.
Yeah, and it's really important, the work that you and Chris do. And, we hope that the community does get behind you and supports you and comes along. And it is it's a lovely small sort of cinema aspect, isn't it, at Longplay at the back of a bar?
Yes, it's in a bar, but it's a dedicated cinema at the back. And it's a quite nice little space. Intimate, but very nice. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for coming into 3CR Studios this morning, Bill, and we look forward to your next three programs for Unknown Pleasures.
No
Australian
worries.
Independent
Thank
cinema.
You, Melinda. Thank you very much.
Bill Masoulas, who is the curator of the program Unknown Pleasures.